exactly tippy-toeing into basketball season. I'll be on the radio call for the men's games on Wednesday and on Sunday, but really fired up about getting the season started. Year one for Shea Ralph. I think we've all kind of wondered what it's going to look like, how it's going to go. I feel like it's going to be some up-tempo and some three-pointers, but I just want to see it all in action and how it works and how it looks. So excited about that. We've had a great time getting to know Shea and her coaching staff, and wish them all the best as they start against Gardner-Webb on Tuesday, and then Coach Stackhouse and the men's team will get started on Wednesday night against Alabama State. And a couple injuries to work around for the men's team. I know Roddy Chapman's going to be out for a little bit with a knee injury. Liam Robbins, the big man, has still been working his way back. I think they feel pretty confident it's not going to be too much longer for him to be ready for game action. But excited to see what this group's going to have in store for us, too. It's a pretty challenging non-conference schedule, but open up on Wednesday night against Alabama State. There are some things that are going to be a little bit different about Memorial Gym for fans coming to games, but we're just going to be thrilled to see everybody at the gym. If you want to get really all the details, go to VUCommodores.com. They have changed most notably some of the names of the entrances and gates, and part of this is due to construction that's still going on to keep people going in different directions around some of the construction that's happening. So just go to VUCommodores.com and get all that information. But there are going to be some things that if you haven't been in there or poked your head in, you're going to be pleasantly surprised to see some of the improvements that have been made. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the video boards that have gone up look fantastic. Mm-hmm. Was popping my head in earlier today. They were testing out the pyrotechnics. It is not a good show if there's not pyrotechnics somewhere involved in the game. And I saw, too, a friend of mine that works for a company that does basically light shows via your cell phone.
Okay.
Was swinging through as well to, I guess, kind of get the skinny on some stuff. So I don't want to overpromise anything, but know that there's plenty in the works here in terms of fan experience. So really looking forward to seeing all that. I'll say this. For the women's game tomorrow, looking forward to watching Coach Shea Ralph get her first opportunity to coach in there as the head coach. Gardner-Webb, do pay attention for them. They were picked, I think, fourth in the Big South, so they're not a juggernaut by any stretch, but they're going to get after the basketball, one of the best stealing basketball teams in the entire country a season ago. So you never know. These first games can always be a little bit tricky, so we'll see how that one shakes out for head coach Shea Ralph. Before we turn things over, Kev, to Jeremy Organ, the swimming coach here at Vanderbilt, give me your top one, two, or three storylines about this men's basketball team, something that really you've got your eye locked in on as they tip off on Wednesday.
I guess first and foremost is number two, and that's Scottie Pippen Jr. What kind of season will he have to follow up a terrific year last year where he averaged 20 points per game? He was just money at the free throw line, really had a great season. There's a lot of attention on him. I talked to him the other day. I said, hey, do you feel a little extra pressure with people picking you SEC Player of the Year and all conference and all those things? He's like, yeah, maybe a little, but you know, it's also a nice challenge to try to live up to all that. And he said, you know, he was looking forward to trying to, you know, prove to everybody that he's worthy of those accolades. But I look for him to have a terrific year. Jordan Wright looks fantastic. I've been a fan of that guy ever since he's been here, and it's been fun to watch him improve over the last couple of seasons. But, you know, can guys like Trey Thomas take another step forward? He really shot the ball well. He was really good in the SEC tournament. Talked to him the other day, too. But while Liam Robbins is out, however long it might take for him to be back in the lineup, I mean, he's going to be a big part of this team. If he's able to perform the way he did at Minnesota, you know, be a guy inside when you throw the ball inside and get a bucket, or, you know, a changer on the defensive end too, altering shots and so forth. How will the new guys fit in? It's disappointing that Rodney Chapman's not going to be able to start the year, but he'll be back, I think, sooner rather than later. But you got some new faces too, some talented freshmen. How will they fit in? Quentin Melora Brown, you know, how will he maybe pick up the slack a little bit with Liam out and be a factor in his own right after playing last season? So I think there are a few things that you can look for, but also a lot of unknowns. It's going to be a very different-looking team than what we saw at the SEC tournament the last time they were on the court back in March. A lot of new faces, few familiar ones, but it's a different-looking group. By all accounts, The chemistry is terrific. Had a great event, by the way, at Top Golf on Sunday night.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. And it was fun to see everybody in that setting and just spend some time with them.
Don't forget, you can listen to both Vanderbilt women's basketball and Vanderbilt men's basketball across the Vanderbilt Sports Network. From Learfield, women's basketball is on WNSR. And men's basketball here in the city is on 93.3 Classic Hits. We'll step aside, come back in just a couple of seconds. Kevin will talk with the head coach of Vanderbilt swimming, Jeremy Orgat, after this on the Commodore Hour.
Welcome back to Commodore Hour. Time to visit with Vanderbilt swimming coach Jeremy Orgat. His team's really performing well. A four-meet win streak. They beat Tulane over the weekend at Centennial, 149-111. What stood out about that match? And congratulations, first of all, on the success right here in this stretch.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's been a really good fall so far, and the team is really doing a good job in training week to week and put together some meets that we were able to come out on top of. And it's been a whole team contribution to get to that point. And everybody's going to the meet and getting points in those close battles. And then that leads us to get some great victories.
Good performances out of Francesca Neubauer, Grayson Almasi, each both won a pair of events over the weekend. I guess a couple of the highlights in terms of individuals and who's really going well for you.
Yeah, they're really swimming really well this fall. Grayson coming as a freshman, and this is all new to her, and she's coming from Canada, so not a lot of experience racing in yards and some meters up there. So she's really 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 doing well. Coming out of her shell and having a great fall so far, and then Francesca coming to us is really starting to come into her own, and she's a real great competitor and really likes to race and is starting to see some success.
Well, one thing I've asked you about before is, do you sort of recruit to events, or do you recruit just great swimmers, the best you can get, and then try to sort of plug them in where they perform the best?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, and especially in swimming, you got kids that can swim multiple events, and so sometimes your needs, week to week can change, and having those type of kids that can kind of swim this event or that event, and so it's yes, you want some of those kids, and then you want some of those specialists that just do one event and do it really well, but then bring a lot to the team as individuals. And we have some great personalities on the team top to bottom, and that does lead to great performances, is just having a lot of fun on the deck and a lot of fun at the meet, and then getting in and racing well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You mentioned personalities. Swimming seems to me like it would be a sport that could really get to be a grind, in terms of all the training and preparation and early morning and all that stuff that goes into it. How important is it to have those personalities?
Yeah, it's really important because, like you said, the training, the practices can really, really kind of wear on you once in a while. And because you're just swimming 2 hours staring at a black line on the bottom of the pool, and you're, there's sensory deprivation in underwater. And so having people to help the mood get increased, especially when sometimes not everybody's on every day, and so you need those teammates that can help boost the energy and boost the fun at practice, and then that creates just a great environment, and you're excited to be at practice even if you're having a bad day, kind of thing. And us coaches, we like that too. Sure. there's energy in the pool, and then we can feed off of that too.
As someone who is a very successful college swimmer, how do you sort of relate to what they're going through and use your own experiences to help?
Yeah, you remember those days of just grinding it out, and you're just like, oh, waiting for the weekend to come so you can have a break. And so just being able to relate to that and also help them through some of those times, say like, yeah, this is normal, it's okay, but everybody needs you, everybody needs everybody, and help your teammates when maybe they seem a little bit not on their game that day.
How challenging is recruiting for swimming? You and I were talking before we went on that it's a year-round process, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a year-round process, and you know, we used to be that traditional model of recruiting into that senior year, and now we're moving earlier, and so really it's like a 2-year, you know, recruiting window for these kids, and it is challenging, and but it's fun. You know, it's fun. You get to get out and see a lot of swimming and meet a lot of people, and you know, try to form those relationships where you feel like that's somebody that can come into your program and then really help change it and move forward.
Tell me about the schedule this year and how challenging it's been for you, you know, as you gotten back into meets this fall.
Yeah, I mean, I think our schedule turned out really well for this year. You know, so we're kind of getting ready to be at the midpoint. So we're going to Miami next weekend, and it's a 3-day invitational type meet. So we compete prelim final for 3 days, and it mimics the championship meet at the end of the year. SECs is a little bit longer, but that's just, you know, because of the teams and the, you know, how many, you know, but it's the competition and in the prelim final format. So this is our chance to do that and race and have to come back morning, afternoon, 3 days in a row. And so we're really looking forward to that. And, you know, I think we've had a pretty good, you know, fall up to this. And so this kind of gives us a chance. Where are we? What adjustments do we need to make for the second half of the year?
How nice has it been to be back at home and have those meets at Centennial again?
Yeah, so it is nice to be able to kind of sleep in your own bed and get up that day and have that meet at home and have that familiarity of your home pool and, you know, and kind of protect your house and kind of thing, you know, mentality. And so it has, you know, 2 years like almost since our last time. So it was nice. It was really nice.
It's one of those things you look at it and say, well, maybe a swimming pool's a swimming pool, but how much does local knowledge help of your own pool?
Yeah, it, you know, because each pool has little quirks or little things, and so, you know, being sort of having that home pool advantage is something that isn't a big thing in swimming, but it does come into play, you know, especially indoor, outdoor. You know, you sometimes, like a lot of our kids never swam outdoor, and we went to Florida Gulf Coast and swam outside, and that's just another challenge, you know, but it's, you know, a lot of fun at the end of the day.
What about the split schedule, too, where you'll come back in January and have South Carolina and Tennessee and then the SEC championships? How challenging is it to sort of crank it back up after you sort of had that gap?
Yeah, so, you know, we take a little break. They get to go home for Christmas, and then we come back early and sort of start our Christmas training, which is something all swim teams do. And so we'll get a chance to sort of without school and just focus on training. And then we'll come back and we have 2 SEC meets, which will really kind of present a big challenge for us both, in every event. But it's also good preparation for that SEC meet that is, you know, the fastest meet in the country, top to bottom, hands down. And so we need that. We need that competition to get ready for that. And, you know, it goes quick. You know, we bang that out, and then next school starts, and then we have Tennessee and then SECs. And so, you know, that's a great time of year, though.
You know, when you watch the U.S. Championships in Omaha, or then you watch the Olympics and you see how many swimmers are from the Southeastern Conference, does it kind of hit home what this league is in terms of, and it's the same for every sport, but man, swimming, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you just look around the pool deck and you get to see, you know, a lot of faces, and you know, it's cool. You got to see them rise through too. Watching Caleb Dressel swim for Florida, you know, 4 years ago as a little, you know, a freshman, and then kind of grow. And you get to watch and learn a lot too. You know, you see what the people at the hot top level of the sport are doing, and, you know, is there anything that they're doing that we can take and try to emulate and, you know, help us get better?
You know, for you, we've talked about it before, guy from Canada, end up being a college swimmer. How interesting has your journey been when you sort of think back on it?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, I start late start in the sport, and, you know, hung up the skates, and, you know, the typical Canadian story, you know, I played hockey and, you know, hang them up and put on some goggles, and next thing you know, I'm swimming in North Dakota, and then I'm coaching, and now I'm here. And you know, how all these just little decisions form your path, and how rewarding it is at the end of the day. And you know, it's been a great it's been a great time up until now, and you know, hopefully many more to come.
Is it fun for somebody who loves hockey as much as you do to be in an area that's become such a big hockey place like Nashville has?
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, being able to go just downtown and watch the game and be able to keep up with hockey. And, you know, I used to have a lot of friends that played, and now they're all retired, unfortunately, you know. And so, you know, that's probably showing your age a little bit, right? But, you know, but my kids just love it now. I can take the kids to the games, and we go back to Canada, we go to games there too, and they're really getting into it. And you know, North Dakota was here playing hockey last weekend, and we took everyone to the game, and it just was so much fun. Nashville's such a great sports city, so you know, with hockey, yes, but you got football and you got soccer and you got Vanderbilt with all the, you know, all the great sports we have here. And just, you know, I think about how much my kids get to see all these different sports and get really close, you know, with all those sports. And so we just love it here.
How much do you enjoy the camaraderie of the coaches in this building? Because it does seem like everybody sort of enjoys each other's company, whatever the sport might be.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know what it's like at other schools, but, man, we've got a great bunch of coaches here, and we do have a lot of fun together. And, you know, and we look forward to times when we get to sort of, like, relax and go do something together and just have a kind of, like, let our guard down and have some fun together and give each other jabs once in a while. And then, you know, there's times when we got to, you know, step it up, and we help support each other and what are each of us doing and problems we're seeing and facing and how to resolve them. And, you know, just, you know, and that comes from the top. You know, Candace is really creating a great environment for all the coaches and staff and everybody, and just some really great things that I think are going to be coming out of the future here.
It's been a challenging time, though, for college athletics in general, hasn't it? Just with everything that's happened and the addition of NIL and all the issues you guys really have to focus on.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's kind of crazy if you think about, you know, all the things that are going on and all the new things. And we, you know, and so it does, you really got to have really great people working within the department to make sure everybody's on top of everything and what's happening, what's coming next, and how to deal with everything. And Vanderbilt really, I think, is on the leading edge of a lot of this and providing a lot of information for the student athletes on how to navigate things like that. And, you know, and man, because I don't know what I would do. And I mean, who knows? You know, you just like, yeah, get everything for free. It's like, well, hang on a second. You know, it's not that easy.
You could have had all sorts of deals in North Dakota, though, you know?
Yeah, right. You know, definitely some winter hats and winter jackets for sure.
Well, as we wrap up here, I kind of circle back to where we started. What do you hope to get done in this last meet of the fall part of the season?
Yeah, you know, we're just looking forward to getting an opportunity to do a prelim final meet where we got a race in the morning and race again at night and kind of see where we are. You know, we give them a little bit of rest, so we you know, and let them put on the fast suits and kind of get up and race. And I'm really looking forward to it because I think overall the girls have really done a bang up job this fall, and I think we're going to see some great things happen.
Vanderbilt swimming coach, fellow 80s rock fan, Jeremy Oregon, thanks for the time.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
We will have more of Commodore Hour coming up in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to the Commodore Hour. Andrew, Alec Reddick here with Kevin Ingram, and now joined by the head coach of Vanderbilt football, Clark Lee. Let's start with the basics. What did you guys do with the bye week? What was the schedule for you guys, and how did that help you hit the reset button?
Well, there were three things that we wanted to accomplish. One was obviously digging in and recruiting and make sure we get out on the road and get in front of get to different high schools just to plant the flag. The second was develop our team. You know, I think particularly as we look at a season that you know, without postseason, we want to make sure we're doing what we can with the practice time that we have to develop the depth of our roster. And so we want to spend time doing that, continue to train habits within the the team that has been playing, you know, practice habits, training habits, to not lose the rhythm of the season. The third would be to advance scout Kentucky. And so we designated periods last week, both in self-scout, but also in working Kentucky prep that will continue Obviously, have continued into this week. So those were the three things: recruiting, developing the depth of our roster, and also continuing our practice habits, and then getting ahead on Kentucky, all of which we were able to get done. And then we enjoyed some time away this weekend, which was much needed.
Just because you brought it up, we're about a month away from the December signing period. If there's a vague overview that you'd like to give us, great. And if you'd like to tell us where you bounced around to this past week, where did you get to?
Well, I was in Memphis, and then I was in North Georgia and Knoxville, and that was more to check in on some different programs. And then I was also able to do some networking and alumni connection too, which is important in my role, especially as we're kind of heading down the Vandy United path and getting closer to some big announcements there. And there will be another time once we finish the season in early December where I'll be out on the road in earnest. During a contact period, we'll actually be able to get in front of our committed players and make sure everything's smoothed out before the early signing period. We feel good about where we are. I mean, I think that the Barton and his staff have done a great job in evaluating both those fundamental traits, those measurable traits that we want to introduce in this program, between height, weight, speed, range, length, those things that are going to be transformative for us as we develop over time, and then also really some guys that fit where this program is and where it's headed. We need builders here. We need guys that are going to roll their sleeves up and work with us to bring this program to its potential. And we're excited about the guys we have in the fold currently, and also about the prospects for expanding this class moving forward. And so it'll be a fun month here, stretch run to the early signing period.
I told Barton this story, and it's a funny story. It's whatever. A couple of weeks ago, I guess I was at a concert, and just randomly I sat next to someone that said, "Oh, do you know Barton Simmons, since you work at Vanderbilt Athletics?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "I know the family." And he said his father, Barton's father, would always complain that Clark Lee and Barton Simmons would just sit in the basement all day playing video games. And he always worried, what would Barton amount to? And you guys seem to be doing just fine.
We did okay, but Keith, Barton's dad, Keith, was a big part of our development. He always found a way to come down to that basement and push us out and get us active. But both Keith and Kay have been a part of this year, and it's been fun to have them around the program. And it's a really great family. I mean, Barton's the least talented of his siblings. He had an older sister who's an attorney who, was a Michigan grad, Michigan law. And then another sister who was a track athlete at Princeton who ended up being on the U.S. team. And, it's an impressive group. So,
and all Barton did was play football at Yale.
He played at Yale, and and he bounced around a little bit in the recruiting world, and now he's on his way up. But they're good folks, and they were certainly that family was important to me in my childhood. I mean, I spent a ton of time over there, and Barton spent a ton of time with my folks too. It was just a neat relationship that it's like a blessing to continue it here.
Well, what kind of video games are we talking about? I was trying to think what time frame that would be.
Well, that would have been, it would have been the original PlayStation. So you're talking about, it was the college football game. That's what we played. It's back before that was a big sticking point, right? It would be hours and days spent in front of that. But it was all fun.
Did you play with Vanderbilt?
I don't remember, okay, to be honest. The amount of time we spent, glued to that TV was I've spent my adult years plotting ways to keep my own sons and daughter from doing the same, much like Keith was doing. He just didn't have the awareness because video games kind of came into prominence as we were coming of age. But
I certainly hope that you made yourself a quarterback and was a star and all that kind of stuff to just kind of balance out the times that you ended up being a fullback.
That's right. No, certainly. Certainly. As I became a part of the game, fullback number 29 for Vanderbilt, you better believe that that I was the leading carrier and leading receiver.
Yeah.
We used the fullback better in that game than anybody in the country.
That's it. I'm bringing the PS1 next week. We're going to hook it up to this TV.
Right.
I think I've got a Tiger Woods Golf and a NASCAR 99. Uh-huh. We can play all those. Now, on a Saturday with no game, can you shut it down and watch games, or what do you do?
I don't know how to answer that, honestly. Like, I find myself, when I put football on TV, I find that I feel like I owe it to my family to not do that. You know, like, mm-hmm. I actually feel a little guilt when I have a football game on TV, because I feel like so much of our life revolves around football that, you know, so this Saturday, my oldest son had a hockey tournament in Atlanta that my wife took him to, and I stayed behind with the other two. And, my daughter Mara had a outdoor soccer game in the morning at 8, so we were up early to that. It was cold. She had a basketball game immediately after, so we changed outfits and went to basketball, and then she had an indoor soccer game that afternoon. So that was our day. Mm-hmm. And I caught a little bit of the Wake Forest North Carolina game kind of during our break between the basketball and the indoor soccer, and then the rest of the day, Saturday, we just hung out. Baby Jack took a nap on the couch. Mara was watching Odd Squad on TV, like many kids her age do, and I was just kind of vegetating with her and just soaking up some good family time. So I would check in on scores, and I flipped on the Arkansas Mississippi State game at the finish, but I pretty much unplugged.
We'll step aside, come back in just a couple of seconds, continue our conversation here on the Commodore Hour with head coach Clark Lee after this. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour final segment with head coach Clark Lee. Andrew Aldegretti here with Kevin Ingram. Let's start here with the quarterbacks. How's Ken doing? How did Mike and Jeremy improve throughout the course of the week?
Well, we had a good week with Mike and Jeremy, and we were excited to reintroduce Ken in some controlled practice last week. So that was a great thing to see. I thought he stayed after and threw some after practice, and then actually got in some reps in one on one. Looked good throwing the ball. I think he felt great. You know, just being active on the field again. And I received good news that he'll be reintroduced back into practice this week. So we're excited about, getting him back to health. I think now it's about seeing how his injury responds through practice and if he can get back to 100% and be able to help us on Saturday. But we're excited. I know he's stayed super engaged mentally. So he's ready. He's got to physically respond the right way to give us the best chance.
As for Mike, how much does starting these three games and kind of experiencing the ups and downs of being, in that role, how much will that help him down the road, you think?
Well, you can't, the game experience is, you can't replicate it, and it's invaluable. So he's done an amazing job, and we'll continue to lean on him until, Ken's in position to help us win games. I mean, Mike's developed and learned and grown, and I think he's learned a lot about his skills and where his strengths are and where his deficiencies are and what plays he likes and, how to strengthen the other 10 positions on the field. So, proud of Mike. And I think, this opportunity that's come, here in the middle of the season will serve him well moving forward.
Andrew asked you about the quarterbacks. I'll ask you about the running backs. How are things looking there? And how much has this experience helped Patrick Smith?
We're very pleased with Patrick. I mean, he's a talented young player who's been kind of thrust into early action and really handled it, very well. I've been very impressed with him. I think back to that Florida game and just how much he created in a tough environment against a tough team. I thought against Missouri again, he created and he ran hard and got vertical and broke tackles. There's a lot to like about that. I do feel like we're getting close to Rocco. And so I feel like that he's trending towards being available and practicing this week, which is exciting. And then obviously with James Ziegler, we have a guy that's a young player that again has been thrust into action, and I thought he handled that very well against Missouri and really created some runs for us and set up some good plays. So he had a tough run there early that got the ball to the 4-yard line that set up the shovel pass touchdown to Gavin. So we want to keep building on that. I think it's an invaluable experience for him. Obviously Patrick stepping into a role of being a featured part of our offense, and then Rocco back is a great thing for us because now we feel like we have a true 1-2 punch, and we can lean on Rocco for some of those tough running yards he's been good for this year.
Final couple of minutes here with the head coach, Clark Lea. Look, I understand that obviously Tennessee down the road is the natural rival, but there is plenty wrapped up in the Kentucky game. And even going back and looking at some of the games that you played against Kentucky, boy, they were close. They were competitive. What are your memories about going up against the Wildcats during your playing days?
Well, just what you said. I mean, I think when I was playing in my 3 years, we played tight games against Kentucky, and it felt like every year we were so close. I can remember a punt block, and I believe that was in 2004 that at Kentucky, if my memory serves me right, that really served as a critical play in that loss, which was unfortunate, but. What Mark's done up there and the way that program's developed is really impressive. I think there's a blueprint there. There's a blueprint for a program that has risen to a level of sustained success that has invested in itself and facility upgrades and that there's a great energy around what they're doing. And we can take a lot from that. And certainly I think when you talk about Kentucky and Tennessee, the setup is natural, rivalry games for us. We have to focus on us right now, though. We're not in a position where we're, naming off rivalries. We're in a position where we're trying to develop ourselves into a competitive product where we can play in tight games and find ways to win in the fourth quarter. And the more we stay committed to that approach, the more we build into our identity, the more we're going to be able to talk about the rivalry games that will come from a result of our efforts.
You played in the 2003 game, didn't you?
I did.
That was the one where the goalpost came down.
That's
over here,
right.
If I remember right.
Yep, you're exactly right.
And I remember the first one was a bit of a struggle, and the second one just came right down. And after the game, Coach Johnson was saying, well, we're fast learners here at Vanderbilt. Those things ended up out here on West End Avenue and everywhere else. That was a crazy scene.
It's you know what? And, Kevin, over my years, I'd forgotten about that, but you're absolutely right. That's awesome.
Because it was the first conference win in a couple of seasons, I think. And I know it was the first one under Coach Johnson. It was that was a fun day over here.
It's awesome.
Coach, I'll leave you on this one. There's a lot to grab your attention with this Kentucky Wildcat team. I recognize that we're focused on us and ourselves at the moment, but whether it's the way up until the past couple of games Kentucky's played defense under Coach Stoops, whether it's been the way that Chris Rodriguez has run the football, I mean, take your pick. As a coach, when you watch them on tape, what really gravitates your eye?
They're athletic on defense. They play hard. I've been really impressed with their defense. I think, particularly with the Tennessee game, I think that's just the nature of the beast against what Tennessee's doing right now is you got to find ways to score quickly and weather the storm defensively a little bit. So I don't take that at all as a knock against what Kentucky's done defensively. I'm impressed with them. They play hard. They're physical. They're athletic in the box. They were really good against Florida early in the year. We will have our work cut out for us offensively on Saturday. But also there's opportunities there, and I think it's a you know, it's a great challenge, but one that we'll be excited for too. You know, offensively, they have an identity and they play to that identity. I think there are similarities in styles and systems. You know, they've gotten good player well out of the running back and quarterback, and you know, they present tough challenges. Obviously, they were able to score, you know, with Tennessee, and they've also been in games where it's been more about game control and keeping it close and finding ways to win in other areas. And, you know, again, I go back to that Florida game early in the season. That's an example of all three phases interlocking. They block a field goal for a touchdown. They control the ball offensively. They play good defense, and they find a way to win. And that's a credit to Coach Stoops and the program he's built.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
Right, we'll step aside. Come back in just a couple of seconds. Gus Whittakamp wraps up the Commodore Hour after this.
Gus Whittakamp inside the U.S. Bank Studios to close out tonight's Commodore Hour. Thanks so much once again to swimming head coach Jeremy Organ for sitting down with Kevin Ingram earlier, and of course to head coach Clark Leap for spending some time with Kevin and Andrew, giving his thoughts on Vanderbilt against Kentucky. It'll be a 6 p.m. kickoff in Nashville. Of course, we will be on the air at 4:30 for our tailgate show. Kevin Ingram, Andrew Allegretta, Norman Jordan, and myself breaking down all the angles of Vanderbilt and Kentucky. The salute to service night, the blackout night for the Commodores, and now it's time for the keys to the game, brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, serving Middle Tennessee for over 60 years. Our keys to the game for Vanderbilt and Kentucky, I think, is for the Commodores to come out with energy. Kentucky, having lost their previous two games, kind of derailing their season, will look to get back on track. They'll look to start strong. This is Vanderbilt's last home game of the season. Fans will be energized. You've got the black jerseys on. It'll be a special night in Nashville. Come out with energy. Come out ready to play and try and take it to this Wildcat squad. So that is the key to the game, brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Guys mentioned it earlier, Vanderbilt's athletics beginning in earnest. Women's team tomorrow and the men's team on the 10th, they'll take on Alabama State as Jerry Stackhouse squad gets the season underway at 7 p.m. in Nashville. Four home games to start out for the Commodores before they dive into ACC play later on in the month. Alabama State, Texas State, VCU, and Winthrop, first four opponents for the Commodores. And just to peruse the top 25 standings, of course, preseason rankings really don't mean a ton. But as for the state of the SEC in basketball, is interesting to note. Kentucky at 10, Alabama at 14, Tennessee at 18, and Auburn at 22. Four teams ranked in the AP Top 25 preseason poll in the Southeastern Conference. And I know Coach Jerry Stackhouse would like to see his squad join that top tier of the Southeastern Conference in basketball. I think it's been great to see the conference establish itself as a power in that sport, with Alabama, Tennessee in certain years, Auburn and Alabama joining Kentucky, a resurging Kentucky this year in those top 25 rankings. Should be an interesting season as a whole for college basketball, really getting started in the next couple of days. A heck of a matchup coming up shortly. It'll be Duke and Kentucky, number 9 against number 10. Coach K gets his final season started at Madison Square Garden at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, drawing a top 10 Wildcat squad straight away. Of course, one of the most intriguing storylines of this college basketball season is Mike Krzyzewski's last season at Duke. He starts off with the number 9 team in the nation with national title aspirations. We will see how that will pan out, but they've got a tough task in John Calipari's Kentucky Wildcats squad for the first game of the season. Love these early season, you know, Champions Classic, Maui Invitational. You get to see the top-tier college programs facing off against each other early in the year. It's a good reference point for where all those teams are to begin this season. But on the Vanderbilt Commodores side, women's team getting started tomorrow. Men's team in action on the 10th. And, of course, football at 6 p.m. on Saturday against Kentucky. Start our tailgate show at 4:30. Andrew Allegretta, Kevin Ingram, Norman Jordan, and myself, Gus Wedekamp, covering all the angles of Vanderbilt and Kentucky. So, as we close out tonight's Commodore Hour, don't forget to download the Anchor podcast to catch up on all the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and tune in to all of the action across the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Bunch of Commodore teams in action. For all of us here at the Vanderbilt Sports Network, I'm Gus Wedekamp, signing off for now and wishing Commodore Nation a great night.